podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is not Chris, your host. This is Bruce McIntosh. I'm the guest announcer this week. When you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at brucemcintosh.blogspot.com, where we discuss my running exploits and disasters. So, wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're getting in your run today. I know I'm getting in my run. When you're ready to have some fun, come on then, let's go for a run.
Well, Buddy and I are off in the old green truck to run some chores. It's Saturday before the marathon. Marathon's on Monday. And I gotta tell you, I'm starting to get a little stressed out. I got a little fear. Does that make me less of a man to say that I'm a little afraid? And when I do my best, it is typically fairly painful. And it's a razor's edge of 26 miles. Sometimes it's only 24 miles. Sometimes sometimes it hurts. I'm afraid because I don't think I've respected my training enough. But we'll see. We'll see what I can eke out of it. And I'll put my head down and go. How do you feel about the Boston Marathon?
Philadelphia is spelled wrong in this.
How do you feel about cream cheese?
It's okay, I guess. I like it on bagels.
So, you got your bagel off to the Expo.
Marathon Expo, yeah.
The Marathon Expo. Do you remember calling into the Marathon Expo with me in the old days?
Yes, it's awesome.
It's awesome. When you guys were little, were you still in? And you guys liked it because you got free food?
That's always fun.
So, what are you looking for in the expo this year?
Nothing in particular.
Oh, yeah?
I just like it.
You dog, huh? Don't you have any friends, dog? You can't come with me today. Yeah, you haven't done the training for this. You could probably do it, but good boy. Who's a good boy? Yeah, Bunny's a good boy. All right, Patriots Day morning. I sound tired. I'm not tired, though. Slept till about 5:30, 5:45, which is when I normally get up. Cold as heck out. Foggy. I mean, really cold. It's even cold in the house. So, you gotta move, dog. I gotta tape my toes, and you're gonna get hair in the tape. Yeah, that's tape. Then I might put some Flexol on, because it's gonna be too cold to get naked out in that field this morning. Alright, Matt. Boston Marathon. We're off. Got a friend picking me up. 7:30. Should get out there around 8. Then we'll take the shuttle down to Hopkinton Center and walk up to the village and see if we can meet some folks. I'll take some pictures and some video and stuff, and we'll see how we do. Got my gear bags all packed up. Got the hotel room. Got all the food bought. Got the massage table. Everything's good. I gotta find a way to do this with less responsibility. I gotta have my coffee. Bye.
Feel about all this marathon stuff?
I don't know. After all the years, I'm sick of it.
You have to go to school today. What do you think about all this marathon madness?
Same thing. I thought about it every year. I don't care.
Okay. What do you think about all this marathon stuff?
Very good.
Very good? No, seriously. Give us something with some depth to it.
I don't know.
Some dimensionality.
I'm tired.
You gotta go to school today. Did you finish your homework?
Yeah.
Okay. Lord of the Rings?
No. Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Rings.
Different.
They're a little bit different.
Lord of the Flies is about dead people. That's why it has flies.
I'm pretty sure there was pig heads on sticks in Lord of the Rings, too.
There isn't in Lord of the Flies.
In the broader sense, it is about the de-evolution of society. Wish me luck on my marathon today.
Good luck.
Thank you. So, girls, you smell that?
Yeah. Black salt.
You know what that smell is?
Black salt.
No, that's victory.
Yeah, okay.
I love the smell of Flexol in the morning.
What, you're not winning anything.
Smells like victory. Now you have to make helicopter noises.
Helicopter.
You know, when I went to your school, they actually took me to see Apocalypse Now as part of their liberal re-education program.
I've never seen that movie.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 66 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. Get your kicks on episode 66. This is, of course, Chris, and this is going to be a great show. I have my friend Adam Alrion to talk about some practical nutrition tips, and I have to lose some weight. And the rest of the show is fun with the bus and marathon. And in particular, one section you'll hear is a sort of long recording of what it sounds like when you're passing through the scream tunnel of young ladies screaming at Wellesley College. And I want you to just realize how long this and loud it is. You know, Boston's the world's best marathon. So congratulations to everyone who ran Boston this week. A lot of my virtual friends, who I met some of, Megan, Josh, Justin, Shelley, Tim, Mary, Abel, and whoever else I forgot. And from my my club, we had Brian and Mark, who both got PRs. They both ran like 2:56-ish. They smoked it. And had a couple of first-timers, Jenny and Rick, who made it through alive. And Tracy from my club ran too. She battled through some injuries. And some old friends of mine, Frank and Paul and Gary, who sort of jogged it. And everyone else, whom I've missed and forgotten to mention. So, and also congrats to David McGilvery for pulling off another extraordinary event. And thank you to Chris Chisholm for her massage expertise on our old legs. And thank you to Mrs. Chris Runner and all the other running widows and widowers out there that make our obsessive compulsive behavior possible. Weather wasn't bad, nice and cool, a little bit of headwind, pretty good day for racing. I am not happy with my performance. I felt heavy and undertrained, and my legs went on me early, and I suffered in around 10 minutes off my goal pace. So, at some point this year, I'm going to have to train for a marathon and run it hard and get some of that time back. So, that's what it's going to be today. Got a great show for you. On with the show.
Yes, I think it's going to be a good day for a run.
How do you think he's going to do?
He's going to do awesome.
I think he's going to get
340 today.
He's going to go out too fast. He's going to go out too fast. He's going to crash in the
hill. You think he's going to bump?
He's going to go out too fast, and he's just going to make it hurt a lot more.
It's going to be a great story, though.
He'll have
All right, you guys, say something interesting. First Boston?
First Boston.
All right.
I'm from Rochester, New York.
New York, Rochester. How are you?
I'm from Leominster, Massachusetts.
Leominster.
This is my second race, second time.
I live in Littleton.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
I work That's in great. Foxborough.
Yeah. Oh, now we got to run.
Good luck.
And now for our featured interview.
Okay, here we are. Adam Ulrey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
All right, I think we're recording. I'm out walking the dogs, so you can hear the frogs in the background. The frogs are procreating this time of year in Massachusetts.
Hey, that's a beautiful thing. It's nice. I live right next to a creek on my property, so it's a beautiful sound to hear.
I'm walking Buddy because, Buddy, we didn't get a run in today. It was pouring rain this afternoon, and I ran out of time. I was going to go do a long bike ride with my buddy Anthony, get started on my ultra training for the bike, but nope, didn't get it in. So getting the dog a walk and doing a podcast.
There you go. It can't be a bad thing.
We were going to talk about nutrition, and I tried to do this with some other guys because, you know, I get this weird brain that's sort of half creative and half engineer focused, so I always think there's like an absolute solution to these questions. And what I found about nutrition is everybody you talk to has their own opinion, and they're you know, 100% different. You know, it's all over the place.
Yeah,
so.
the biggest key in nutrition in a lot of ways is just getting down to the basics. And I hear so many people, I listen to the guy that you interviewed, and I listen to other people, and, you know, they can tell you the basic stuff, and which is great, but it's really getting a little bit more and just making sure people are aware of their body. And each person is going to be different in what agrees with them, what doesn't agree with them. But, you know, people don't talk enough about digestibility, what's easiest to go through your system, those type of things. And then what to stay away from, what to supplement them with, you know, as far as food items and just even proper nutrition. It's amazing. I run with a bunch of people, and I'm amazed at how many of them just kind of eat whatever they want, and they don't always feel great. And I think a lot of that has to do with what you're eating.
Yeah, well, let's be perfectly frank here. Many of us got into running so we could eat whatever we wanted.
Exactly.
Myself included.
Exactly. And the problem being is if you're carrying a few extra pounds and you want to get it off, people think, okay, I'll just run more. But if you're not fueling right and you're maybe not eating as well as you could during that time, you're not going to lose weight. And so
right. It's
an interesting dichotomy as far as learning, okay, look, at what have I got to do to get this to work right so I can lose some weight and still eat a certain amount of food and get my training in and that kind of stuff. So everybody is different, you're right, and there's no 100% way of nutrition that's right. And I have my own ideas, and I'll share a little bit of that with you, but, you know, everybody's different, definitely.
Yeah, well, you know, can you hear those frogs?
I love them. That's great. That's going to be great for the podcast. Are you kidding me? To hear frogs?
To hear frogs. Better than crickets, I guess.
Yes.
Hopefully you can still hear us.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and, actually that strategy works for, you know, sort of running off, eat what you want or run to eat works for a while, but your body gets used to it.
Right.
And your body just sort of resets, not all the way up. Like, if I didn't run at all, I'd weigh 230 pounds.
Right.
But since I'm running, I'm still, my body basically balanced out at somewhere around 190, right?
And where are you at right now?
About 190. 190 and change.
And you want to be about 180 and change?
Well, you know, I feel real healthy at 180. If you look at the tables would say I should weigh like 165, right?
Well, how tall are you?
Well, I used to be about almost 6 foot. I think I'm probably like 5'10 and a half now.
Yeah, see, I'm 5'10 and I weigh about 178, but I'm a little bit stockier. I have bigger legs, and, you know, they said I should be 165. If I was 165, I'd look like a you know, an Ethiopian kid sometimes. So it depends on the body style too. But I think that, you know, you want to get down a little bit lower in weight just because it'll put that much less pressure on your legs, your back. You know, those type of areas where you might have a little bit more aches and pains. And that's what the weight does, too, is it frees you of some of that pain that you might have.
Yeah, and the first couple of the training programs I went through were so intense when I was trying to make my qualifying times when I was younger. That intensity really burns the weight. So I was running, you know, somewhere around 180, 182, and that felt fantastic, you know?
Right. Well, getting that 10 pounds off just for you right now actually would be... won't be that hard, especially after I looked at your log a little bit, just for simple little things. One, you know, certain stuff that people don't...
Wait. Let's clue the listeners in here what you're talking
okay.
about. So what I did is I tried to, and I'm sure it suffers from the same thing that all food logs suffer from, is, you know, I don't weigh my stuff. I'm always in a hurry, so I was just trying to jot down what I was eating, right?
Right. And... What Chris did is he kept the log for a week, and I'm looking at it and trying to figure out maybe where some changes can be made on it. And, you know, simple things that need to be done, you need to add definitely more salads to your diet. When you're having, you know, chicken or even tuna or whatever at night is just don't have that and something else. Try to have a little bit of brown rice and a little bit of salad with it, and you're going to be doing a little bit better. And then keep your portions small. That's the biggest thing. I saw in a couple of them, you put big amount of this or big amount of that. Is keep your portions a little bit smaller, but then eat about five times a day. And I've seen sometimes where you did that, but you ate so close together, you didn't give your body a chance to digest that food. You want to have about between 2.5 and 3 hours between meals. So like if you have your breakfast, 2.5 hours later have a snack, 2.5 hours later have lunch, 2.5 hours later have another snack, dinner, and then try to eat dinner sooner than later so that your body has plenty of time before you go to sleep to kind of digest it and calm down before you fall asleep.
Yeah, and when I'm in the office, with, you know, when I'm ever in the office, I do follow that better, and I do eat a lot more salads and stuff. But when I'm traveling or I'm busy, it's real hard to put that stuff together because that stuff takes time to make, right?
Right, and you know, the only thing that you could do is, you know, when you're traveling, it's really tough. So what you do is you try to go from a simple thing, and that is there's little tricks that you can do, and you don't even have to take any of it with you because it's hard to always pack that stuff. Say you're in Boston and next week you're going to be in Frisco like I've heard you do before. When you get there, you just go down to a grocery store and you pick up a couple steamer bags and you grab some, you know, some fish or some chicken or whatever, and you just steam it in a microwave if that's available at your hotel, which, you know, most hotels, at least you have a microwave in your room. Same thing with some vegetables. Pick up some fresh food like that and just keep it there, and then just go ahead and do it in these steamer bags, and you're going to get it's much better than going out and not knowing how somebody's preparing something.
Yeah.
And it would take a little bit less time. The other thing is also just knowing that if you're going to be on vacation for a short period of time on those areas, is maybe go down to some place like a health food store and pick up a salad that a lot of times they'll have a big salad mix that you can put there. You know, you can make it, have a salad bar. And then just supplement that with granolas and some fresh fruit and stuff during the day that's easy for you to carry and easy to handle, so you're not having to make a lot of stuff, because I know when you're there, you're doing business. You don't have probably a lot of time to prepare. And if you do go out, just try to make sure that you're getting the fish and chicken and find out how it's cooked. Get fresh vegetables, salad, you know, brown rice, those type of things. And you'll be amazed at, one, that you'll feel a lot better, but also, two, is the fact that you know that you're going to be eating pretty good while you're even away from home, where you don't have as much control.
Yeah, it's and a lot of times what I'll fall back on is fruit or, like, energy bars and stuff. Because it's just the only thing I can get, you know?
Right.
So I'll grab a banana or an apple, which is awful because it just spikes your, you know, it spikes your sugar and doesn't give you any fuel. But it's better than
The thing to do with that, though, Chris, is take a handful of mixed nuts. Not just peanuts, but mixed nuts, because it'll do it. And then a couple slices of cheese. And then you're going to kind of, it's kind of almost like a decent meal, just a quick one, is have an apple, a couple slices of cheese, handful of nuts. And you'll be amazed the difference you'll feel in doing that, because plus you're getting a little bit of protein. And the thing is you want to make sure, especially after workouts or, you know, stuff like that, you get a little bit of protein back in your system within the first hour. And it can be it can be protein mix. It doesn't have to be, you know, cheese or anything like that. It can just be a simple scoop of protein in a little smoothie. And those I highly recommend. I like your breakfasts. I think your breakfasts, for the most part, are pretty good. You just need to be more consistent at making sure you have breakfast every day, you have lunch every day, you have dinner every day. I noticed that some days, there was a couple days, you didn't even have lunch. You went a long period of time with just eating an apple and water.
Yeah, well, you know, I get involved in a crisis, and I'm working, right?
Right.
So, you know, you get some days I'm in the office at 7. I don't lift my head up until 7 p.m.
Oh, wow.
You know? So.
In that case, the biggest thing that I saw in this is to try to do that, the meal thing, five small meals. Of course, I know that you like your sweets. I heard on your last podcast you weren't going to tell me how many bowls of ice cream you actually like to eat.
Well, you know, it's not really that. It's more at night I like comfort food.
Right.
And so it'll be like 10:30 at night. I'll eat three bowls of ice cream just to feel full. And I know I'm emotionally eating. But I do it, you know?
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is getting away from that. And also, if you need a little bit before you go to sleep, is to have something very light. Just take a couple, you know, put some peanut butter on some celery. I know that sounds, you know, okay, yippee-yahoo. You don't get too excited about that. But find something that you like. If you like hummus, dip some carrots in hummus and have a couple of those. What you want to do is just take away that initial hunger and not sit there and gorge before you go to bed, because then it just sits in your stomach. It's going to turn to fat, because you're not going to burn while you're sleeping, and you haven't given your stomach that 3 hours it needs to kind of digest that food so that when you go to bed, it's already kind of gotten through the system.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, and that can add a few pounds. I mean, I've lost 11 pounds in the last 6 weeks by just being more consistent in those type of things. And running, you know, I do my normal run. I get in about 25, 30 miles a week, do some biking, but it's being consistent. I eat at the same time pretty much every day, as close as I can to that, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, my snacks, that type of thing. But I try to keep it simple, you know, and keep it small portions and making sure I'm still getting my calories and my fuel, because as runners, you can't live on 1,000 calories, because then you're defeating a purpose. You're not going to lose any weight because you're not getting enough calories in to burn.
Yeah. And I think the thing with the nighttime eating, I got to come up with a replacement strategy of some. I got to reprogram my psychology somehow, because I've been doing that as, you know, as long as I've been alive, right?
Right.
Sit down at the end of the day with the milk and cookies. So I got to find some reprogram. So it's truly psychological and emotional. It's not physical. So I got to
And a lot of that is a lot of getting it down to an art form, and it's not even so much that you have to be. I don't, you know, when I talk to people about nutrition, and I've helped quite a few people, I don't want to make it difficult for them. You want to make it easy so they'll want to do it, but you also have to find foods that they like that are healthy. If you don't like celery and peanut butter, you're not going to eat it. So it doesn't. I can tell you till you're blue in the face to eat it. You're going to say no. So what you have to do is find, okay, what's healthy that I like to eat that I can eat at that time of night and feel okay about. If you like fruit, have a piece of fruit with another little handful of nuts before you go to bed if you need something there. And then that's going to be fine. You're not eating too much calories. Or go with maybe a little bit different fruit that isn't maybe as high as in sugar. Maybe it's a little bit smaller in sugar, natural sugar, you know. Find whatever works for you that way. But you have to say, instead of having ice cream, I got to do this, you know. And it's, again, it's a mind thing.
Yeah, and I find it's a little thing. So what I found over the years, because I eat a lot better than I used to, it's the little things, you know, like... when I was younger, I'd eat cream cheese, and I'd eat a lot of salad dressing and that kind of stuff, and I don't do any of that anymore. So, you know, just, I don't like it. I don't like the taste of it anymore, you know? So, here's another question. Here's a good question. My family has bad eating habits, so the people I lived with, people I live with now, you know, my wife is basically your meat and potatoes type, right?
Right.
So... you know, I'm not putting it on my agenda to change her eating habits.
Right.
Because that's a fool's errand. But, you know, I'm confronted with this, okay, we're all eating this, and I have to go up in the corner and eat my, you know, little bowl of kibble instead.
Well, you know, in that case, if she's going to make that, say she's going to make meat and potatoes and some vegetable, whatever it is, tell her to take the potatoes, make them red potatoes, steam them, Or even, you know, cut them up and bake them with a little bit of olive oil and some seasonings on them at 400 degrees. That's what I'm doing right now as I'm talking to you. That's what I'm doing tonight. And then when she's cooking her steak, if that's what she needs because she likes her red meat, put in have a piece of fish ready to go and cook it the same way. And then take again some vegetables and either steam them or cook them up however you want them. You can do boiled, you know. And then that way you're eating with your family. They're eating what they want to eat. You're eating what you want to eat, but it's almost the same. You're just making a little bit of adjustments to what they're eating. So that way you don't have to go and sit in the corner. And what I like to do is I make up a big thing of rice on Sunday, a big thing of brown rice, put it in the freezer. I bring out a package, one cup or whatever that I think, and I can easily microwave it. When they're having their potatoes, I can have my rice with my fish or chicken and my vegetables, and I can sit down and eat with them, and they're just eating a little bit different, but we're all eating together because my family doesn't eat like I do. So I do all the cooking. So when I cook, I just make sure, you know, I try to make it somewhere close to what I'm going to eat, but maybe a little bit different for them.
No, and that's a good strategy. Just like I said, healthy food for some reason is hard to eat. It takes time to eat, and it takes time to make. So it's like slow food is healthy food.
Right. Well, that's why, you know, if you look at my blog site, and I can send you a bunch myself, you know, I try to, when I teach cooking classes, and when I teach them, what I teach people is how to cook healthy meals using fresh ingredients in under 30 minutes, and most time in under 15. A lot of my pasta dishes, stuff like that, are real quick. So there is ways of doing it, and you can streamline it to where it fits who you are. I know you're not somebody who's going to stand in the kitchen for an hour, so it'd be stupid to say, cook this, this, and this. So what you do is learn how to just steam vegetables and steam potatoes. They most of the time take less than 10 minutes. Or how, while you're cooking your pasta, it's easy to come up with simple pasta sauces to put over the top of them that wouldn't take any time. And in 15 minutes, you'll be eating a healthy meal. And it's
you're right. There's a couple of things I've picked up over the last couple of months from listening to other people is
Making your own hummus is awesome. I love hummus. And it's right. And you can make it in, you can make it in bulk. You can make like a week's worth.
Exactly.
So in the food processor, it works great.
And, you know, try to make every other dinner a non-meat dinner by adding beans to whatever you're eating. So,
yeah.
You know, you can take a handful of black beans and put them on, you know, put them in, on top of your spaghetti. And that sounds weird, but it's not. Just take some, you could take some black beans or even some garbanzo beans like you do for hummus and put them over the top of your spaghetti instead of adding, say, cheese or meat. And then that way you're getting a good protein, but you're getting a good fuel protein that's easy on your stomach, digest quickly, and you can be out doing something really fairly quick within, say, a half an hour to 45 minutes after you're done and feeling really good. Where if you're eating red meat and you're eating potatoes and you're eating them the old-fashioned way, that takes a little bit longer to digest. And sometimes red meat can take up to 5-6 hours and you feel somewhat bloated. It's because the body isn't digesting that food the way it needs to.
Yeah, and potatoes are a good bulk food, too. You can make those in bulk, and they last a long time.
Right, and you can do so many different things with them. There's
right.
A myriad of ways to eat them.
Yeah, very versatile. And the thing the guy was saying about cutting up all the vegetables for your salad on Sunday and sticking them in little bags, that actually works okay. Some of the vegetables, like peppers and tomatoes and lettuce, don't last too long.
Right.
But other stuff like broccoli and, you know, cauliflower and carrots, that stuff lasts 2 weeks if you put it in individual bags after you cut it up.
Exactly, and when you're in any salad you have, add any you know a myriad of different things as far as seeds, but add sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, walnuts. Add little handfuls of that to it, along with maybe a little bit of your favorite cheese. If there's a white cheese you specifically like, put a little bit of that on there. Give it a little bit more flavor. You enjoy it more. And I had a salad today for lunch, and I added a can of albacore instead of tuna because albacore is better. And just put a can of albacore on top of it with some seeds and a few vegetables, and you got a really good balanced meal with some protein in it, and you're not going to be hungry for a couple hours. You know, and that's the thing is keeping you from wanting to be hungry, so you just keep grabbing food. And that's another key. So that's why it's important to make sure you get some protein in there along with your carbohydrates and along with, you know, even a little bit of fat. And my fat is always olives because I love olives. So I throw olives in a lot of stuff
to
eat.
I do, too. I love Clamato olives. Spicy olives are awesome.
You bet. And it's a matter of just getting it down, but getting consistent. A lot of times what I do is I'll make up a meal plan for a week. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just something close. You know what you're going to be doing. Talk to your wife, like, what do we want to cook? And then figure out how you can just supplement that a little bit to make it healthier for you. And then that way every night you can sit down with your family, have a meal, and you can feel pretty good about what you're eating.
Yeah, and they'll eat it too. It's interesting for them.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, you know, if they get a chance, and learning to flavor food is important, and you don't have to do much to do that. You just add a few seasonings. Usually fresh herbs are great. I always have fresh herbs in most everything I cook. I grow them out here where I live, and so I just grab them and, you know, a little bit of thyme, a little bit of rosemary, a little bit of sage, that's all you need. Chop it up real fine, throw it in everything you eat, throw it in your salad, everything, and it gives a little bit more flavor to your food, and it's a subtle flavor that people love.
Yeah, I gotta learn more about herbs. Most of the time, all we grow out here in New England is rocks. But you know, some couple weeks out of the year, we have plants. The other thing I eat a lot of is those salted in the shell sunflower seeds, and I think those are really bad for me. But I crave the salt, and
right.
I always love those because they're so tactile and they take so long to eat.
Right, and they're fine if you do it every great blue moon, you know, especially if you're sitting at a ball game. That's where more tendency is to do it. But you know, it's to supplement that. Instead of that, you want to grab again walnuts, pecans, those type of things. They're a better nut for you. You can find some that are low sodium, so that you're still getting a little bit of that salt, maybe that flavor. And also, you know, it doesn't hurt every so often if you have just a handful of a baked chip that you know has been baked, a potato chip that has been baked, and you know that it's not been fried or everything, because it has a little bit of salt on it, so that maybe for you, if you have, say, 8 or 9 of those, and you get that little bit of salt, you might be good and be able to walk away from it. And that's the key, is if you can just have a serving, which is usually 8 or 9 chips that are a little bit salted, it'll take that craving away for you, and yet you'll be okay, and you're not eating something that's high in fat, or high in, you know, that's not very good for you.
All right, so I'm back in my driveway now.
Okay.
Gotta go in with the dog. So it's been good chatting. So you got to give me a plan to lose 10 pounds.
I will. I'll send you that. But again, like changing this, but I'll give you an idea on that. And again, you know, don't hesitate to check out the blog and stuff. And because I'm throwing up recipes all the time, and a lot of them are, I try to make very simple for people to look at and check out.
Yeah, well, give us the location and the URL and stuff.
It's Lone Wolf Dash Runner blogspot.com, and has everything from my running exploits to nutritional and fitness tips, and then recipes on there and stuff, and then interviews with people when I get a chance. I interviewed Joe Henderson. I've interviewed a number of people, and I'll be writing some stuff on the Eugene Marathon in 2 weeks because I'm going to go down there and follow a lot of first timers and interview them afterwards. So.
Oh yeah, Joe Henderson's the real deal.
Yeah, he is. Him and I went running this last week. I ran 10 miles on a taper run with his marathon group. He has a group that he does for the Eugene Marathon and one for the Portland Marathon here in Oregon. And it's a really good group of people, and they really think a lot of him. And you know, he does a lot of good stuff in this area. He's lived here for 30 years, and he's a wonderful guy.
Yep. So what's your target in this marathon?
I'm not running this marathon. I'm actually, my first run I'm doing is in 3 weeks. I'm doing a 15.1 mile trail run along the Umpqua River down here. It's a single track trail, and we go out 30-second intervals. And so I'm looking to do 2:30 or under on that is my goal. But we'll see. That'd be about 10-minute miles on the about 1,500 elevation gain.
Oh, good, awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go.
All right.
And,
take it easy, Chris. Always good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. All right.
You got it.
All right. Bye.
Talk to you later.
And I know. I'm indestructible, and I know I'm indestructible tonight.
My 1:7:30 is 1.
Watch out for that first step, Mac. It's a Lulu.
So that's 5K, about 23 and change. Going a little fast. I can just set up my race reports as templates.
Yeah.
Just go. Race name, went out too fast.
Really?
Blank, crashed.
Yeah.
Struggled in.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Then I wouldn't have to write them.
Yeah. Just gotta get yourself a headset.
Yeah.
Can I have a hug?
All right, mile 5. Just put in a 7:41, a 7:21, a 7:15, a 7:26, another 7:20. So I'm going to walk for a couple minutes, see if I can give some of that time back. Because a 3:12 is unsustainable pace. Mantra!
No, sorry, that is wrong.
That's 10K in about 47 minutes. Good?
Yeah.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
Say something to the audience?
No.
Hold on.
Of course, you know, this means war.
Right? Feeling kind of heavy. Tough, only got 30 seconds to walk each mile, so gotta go.
Oh, woe is me.
Mile 10. Just been holding my pace. A little bit ahead. It's gonna be work. Gotta go.
14th. I'm working way too hard. I'm on pace. I'm ahead of pace. I'm about 3 minutes up on my pace. I'm working way too hard. These 30-second stops just don't give me enough rest time.
Alright,
gotta go.
Hi, Canada!
Alright, mile 15. I'm still like 3-4 minutes up on my goal pace, but I'm done. I'm cooked. My legs are fried. I'm gonna give it a 2-minute walk here and see if I can get something back. And maybe go a minute mile in. See if I can make this a fun run.
This is so embarrassing.
17. I'm dead. It's on my day. So, just kind of switch into ultra mode. See if I can get to the things without killing myself. I'm down to like 8:30, so, with the 1-minute walks. So, we'll work it. Try to relax and work it till we get in the backside of heartbreak and then see what we get. So, better be a live dog than a dead lion, right? That's 20. Got heartbreak in front of me. I'm done. Just turned in a 9:04. So. Said I'm cooked. Sad dog.
Oh, Gary, help! Help me! Oh, merciful Neptune! I closed the window on my head!
Well, that kicked my ass. Came in somewhere around a 3:35. Lost it easy, then I just basically had to fight it in. So, that's too bad. Nice day, too. Didn't have the legs. So, somewhere around a 3:35 and change.
Hey Chris, it's Megan, and I'm calling to leave you my thoughts on Boston. Anyhow, I had an amazing, amazing first time experience running Boston. I'm a little overwhelmed by all of it when I try to think back. I think it all, like, initially, it started even at the airport, just that people would, you know, they could tell that I was a runner, and as soon as we got into Boston, just the excitement built that, you know, everywhere was like, oh my gosh, are you running Boston? And you feel like you're being treated like a royalty or something. And so anyways, went to the expo on Saturday, which was a zoo. I would have liked to have spent more time there, but it was just crazy. Got my number and kind of got really nervous then because I realized I was really doing it, but excited, nervous. Then the night before, I ate lots and lots of pasta. I was fortunate enough to stay in Hopkinton, so I didn't have to do the bus from Boston up to Hopkinton. So I got dropped off at the state park and then rode the shuttle not even a mile to the Athletes Village, which truly is, it was like walking in there, I was like, oh my goodness, it is amazing how many people are there. You realize at that moment how many people are actually running. It's crazy. So I was there for just a brief amount of time and then went to my corral, and that all went very well. And then started, and the race itself was just phenomenal. The course is hard. It does suck you in. It is fast initially, and you feel like you could go, 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 and then you hit the hills. But the thing that amazed me, and everybody had told me about it, you really cannot believe unless you see it, how many spectators there are. Never a dull moment. Constantly people out. And even though the course itself doesn't provide, you know, food except for at mile 17, you don't have to worry about that because the spectators are providing it. They have candy, they have oranges, they have drinks, they have popsicles, you name it. There was people out with boxes of tissues and sponges and wet towels, and I just could not believe, honestly, how much the people came out to support the runners and just, you know, make sure everybody had a great day. So it was phenomenal. You know, I finished in 3:45 and could not believe I did that. I mean, I of course had really hoped to do a PR, which my best time so far is like a 3:39. But I was happy with my 3:45 because it was a difficult course. But as soon as I crossed the finish line, I started thinking about, oh my God, I got to get back here and do this again because it was just phenomenal. So that is my plan, is to get back there. You know, I'd like to get back in like 2011. Of course, I'd love to get back next year, but I don't know that that's possible. Anyhow, financially, I think I could probably push myself to qualify, but I just don't know. Anyways, thank you for your hospitality, the shower post-race, massage post-race, and meeting you, and everybody was so cool, and I'm still just kind of glowing in awe over the whole experience. Anyways, I'm rattling on and on and on, and I feel like I haven't even said nearly enough, and you can hear my cat. That's Chewy. Anyways, thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you again. I know you'll be running whenever I return, because it seems like it's one of your, you know, standbys, what you do. Anyhow, take care, and thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Okay, that's it. Episode 66 in the can. Buddy and I actually went for a run with Megan, the vegan running mom, over in Concord. We met a very strange park ranger over there in the Minuteman National Park, where the shot was heard around the world. So I guess you can check out my other stuff, my other Boston videos. I managed to do some video over on Runcast TV. You can go look at that. And next up is Groton Road Race. Come out and run my race, the Groton Road Race, on April 26th. We got walk-up registration this year, so don't be not coming. Come on over. I'll be switching over to the trail bike to do a trail bike ultra. I got lots of work to do, plenty of things to talk about. It's never a dull moment here at the Chris Runner House. In theory, we might have John Bingham, the Penguin. We're going to talk to Steve and John Ellis about the .2 folks, try to do something around that. And I might talk to the Vermont Marathon guy. Somebody suggested I do that, so I got a note out to him. You know, he said, who the hell are you? But I think I can sweet talk those guys into talking to me. And who knows, maybe I go run that. That's in May. You know, what the heck? So if you have people you want me to talk to, let me know. And I need help with audio, too. Do the intro for me. You've heard how people do it. Today's intro, you know, Bruce McIntosh, he could have done a better job, but I let him slide, because I'll be calling on him in the future. Someday, I will call on you, Bruce, and ask you to do me a favor. Tunes tonight are from a group called Hemet Holdout, and it says, pure rock with the Ramones and Jet, drinking and driving. That's what it says. So, I liked it. Sounds a lot like Ramones. You guys have a great weekend, and I will see you out there.
Get it up. If you don't feel it, you ain't driving fast enough. Grab that stick and let it flow. Give it some juice and watch it go. You gotta ease back or you're gonna blow. Just hold out, baby. Hold out, baby. Hold out, baby. Hold out for me. Yeah.
listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.